of those Bible studies for you. I'm working on that now, and but if you're in that situation, we can make sure we'll provide something for you. Well, the theme for the ladies' weekend is promises, God's promises, and that's what I want to talk a little bit about today. I want to kind of compare man's promises to God's promises, because there clearly is a difference. How many times in your life has someone promised you something? They've made that commitment. They've looked you in the eyeball and they promised you something. And how many times have you in your life made a promise to somebody, looking them in the eye? I promise I'll do that. I promise I'll follow through. I promise I'll get that, or I'll do that, or whatever that promise may be. Making promises is one of the easiest things we can do. It's just a statement. Promising someone that you will do something for them today in our world has lost its true meaning. What does it mean anymore to promise somebody something? Big deal. If I follow through, fine. If I don't, fine. But there was a time when a person's word was their bond. If they promised you something, you could bet on it. You could count on it because they were going to deliver. But that's not the case anymore. It's just like most things in our world today, it doesn't have the same meaning as it used to have. Like many things in the world today, they don't mean the same. They're not as important as they once were. Our character isn't based on our word anymore. How many of us as parents have made promises to our children and failed to keep them? We promised our children something, we would come through, we would do something, they could have something, they could do something, and we failed on that promise. Our intentions to keep the promise was good. We intended to keep it, but something else took priority. Something else happened that changed everything. We as a parent, if we failed to keep that promise to our children, we as a parent fail our children. Wives and husbands make promises all the time to each other. As a matter of fact, the day we were married, we promised to love, honor, obey, help, serve, keep each other on a pedestal. We promise to do that until death do us part. A lot of those promises on those days were broken. A lot of those promises were never to be. Good intentions. When they were spoken on that special day, I'm sure those promises were something that each person saying them thought they were going to keep. But something else took priority. Something else came up that changed their mind. If that's happened to us, we failed our spouse. If we haven't kept the promises we've made to our husband or wife, we failed our spouse. Children make promises to their parents. Have your children ever promised you anything? I'm going to keep my room cleaner. I'm going to do better in school. I'm going to take better care of my toys. I'm going to put my toys away. I'm going to eat everything. I'm going to eat my vegetables. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to get all my chores done. I promise. I promise I'll be home at the time you've set for me to be home. If I need to be home, if you tell me as a parent to be home at 9 o'clock, I'll be home at 9 o'clock. Something else takes priority. They don't follow through with that promise. Children fail their parents with those promises. What about making a promise to help a friend or a neighbor? Have you ever done that? You ever promised your neighbor or a friend something? I'll be there to help. You can count on me. Did you keep that promise, or did something else take priority? And you didn't follow through. Did we fail our friends and our neighbors by not keeping those promises that we made? It affects us as well. If we ever made arrangements to do something on a particular day, maybe move something heavy, go somewhere, do something special, and we did that at a particular time because our friend or a family member, somebody made a promise to do it with us, to help us, to go there with us. So we made arrangements. Maybe we took off work. Maybe we did something else. Maybe we rented a truck or a trailer to do something with. We got everything ready. Then that person that promised to be there doesn't show up. There we stand. All set to go. All set to do what we were going to do, what we had planned to do, what we had made arrangements to do. But we're disappointed because that person didn't show up. Our friends failed us. Promises made, promises broken. No big deal. Doesn't mean anything. It's so important that we should honor our promise. Very important. It is our character. It is our word. If we promise something to somebody, that we follow through. Sometimes when a person doesn't keep their promise, the only reason they didn't is they forgot. They forgot they made that promise to you. Have you or I ever promised somebody something and then forgot about it? Got busy? Absolutely just forgot about it. It's not that we didn't want to do it, not that we didn't want to follow through. We forgot. We forgot. And it can happen to the best of us. We used to call people who did more than one thing multitaskers. You know, they're just busy, busy, busy. And there weren't too many of those people, and they were labeled that because they stood out. But you know, that's every one of us today. We're all multitaskers because we're so busy. We've got so much going on. We're going 3 and 4 different directions at once, trying to accomplish everything that we need to accomplish. We can forget. We can forget that we made a promise to somebody and not follow through. But forgetting that we've given our word, forgetting that we've made that promise, understanding that because of our promise, someone may make arrangements, may take time off work, may do something else. It may be very meaningful. Our promise may be very meaningful, very important to the person we made that promise to. So forgetting should never be an excuse for not keeping our promise to someone. Should never be an excuse. It should be that important that we make sure by doing whatever we have to do, putting notes up, doing whatever, that we don't forget to follow through with our promise. Let's turn to 1 John, if you would. 1 John. 1 John. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 5. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. Keeping our word. Very important. It says who we are. Is that important to us? It's awful when someone has made a promise to you and they change their mind. It makes for a bad time. But have we done that? Are we guilty of that? A family planning an outing for months, for a year maybe, planning an outing, putting away money, everyone agreeing on a particular date, we'll make arrangements. We'll make ourselves available for that particular date to go and do whatever we're doing, a family vacation, a family outing, whatever. Everyone's planning on that trip. Everyone has promised to do all that they can do and make those arrangements to be ready. You put out non-refundable money, deposits on things. You're looking forward to an uninterrupted time with family, being together. Doesn't happen that often. But everyone agreed these dates will work. This will work. No problem. On the day you're supposed to leave, two of the family members call and say, we can't do it. Something else has taken priority. We can't do it. What a letdown. It affects everybody. Maybe none can go now because we were planning on a certain amount of people. Now everything's changed. We were let down. A couple people didn't follow through with that promise. Something else took priority. How many of us have bought a new house or a car? And when we deal with a salesperson, we hear many promises, don't we? Especially if you buy an older home or a used car, then you really hear the promises. A used car we're going to purchase, they promise it belonged to an old lady who just drove it to church on Sunday. I promise. That's all. And if it's an older home we're going to buy, they tell us about the things we can see. And they promise. They make promises about all the things we can't see. The electrical, the foundation, the plumbing. Everything's great. It's all good. We move into the house. A little while later, things start falling apart. The plumbing leaks. The electrical shorts out. The foundation's cracked. But we bought that house based on promises. We bought that used car based on promises. And we were let down. Some people make promises knowing they could never keep them. Just promise them this just to get them off my back. Just to get them to leave me alone. I'll make that promise. Hopefully we've never done that. We've never made a promise that we knew we couldn't keep. Colossians 4, if you turn there with me. Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4. We should think before we ever promise anything. Is it a promise I can keep? Is it a promise I can follow through with? Colossians 4 and verse 5. Walk in wisdom toward those who are outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one. Think about what we're saying. Is our word good? Is our word our bond? It doesn't seem to be that way anymore with man. All around this world, promises broken. They don't mean anything. Something else takes priority. Something else becomes more important than the promises that man has made. Those are man's promises. Not a lot to them anymore. God is different. God is different. Think about it for a moment. How could we ever trust a God that didn't keep His promises? How could we trust Him? If He broke one promise, why would we trust Him for the next promise? We couldn't. We wouldn't. And we shouldn't. The huge difference between man's promises and God's promises is God never fails to keep His promise. Never fails. He never fails. He will never have an excuse for letting us down. God will never forget that He promised you something. God will not deceive us. He will not tell us something that isn't true. He will not sugarcoat something. He will not change His mind. And He will not make promises He can't keep. That's the difference between God's promises and man's promises. God's promises mean something. God sticks to His word. There's an old hymn based on God's promises. And it's the theme of the ladies' weekend. But that old hymn is titled Standing on the Promises. Standing on the Promises. And the first verse goes like this. Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let His praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing, standing on the promises of God. And that's our future. Standing on those promises that God has made to mankind. Standing on those promises that encourage us for our future. Our eternal life, living with God the Father in Jesus Christ. That's a promise God has made to us. That's what we stand on. That's why we're here. That's what we believe. That's what we can prove out of the pages of the Bible. Standing on those promises, betting everything we have on those promises. Never doubting, never having any fear that God won't come through, but we stand on it. Stand on those promises. 2 Peter chapter 1, if you turn there with me. 2 Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. And His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We escape Satan. We escape sin. We escape the pulls of this world based on those promises from God because we believe them. We're looking forward to the day when Jesus Christ returns just as He promised. And we can be with Him. Are you and I standing on those promises? Is that what motivates us each day when we get out of bed? Is that what keeps us going? God promises to do everything He can do to help us reach our goal. And our goal is God's kingdom. He will do, and He has promised to do everything possible to get us there. But to achieve this goal, we have to remove ourselves from the sins of this world. We have to put our faith in God's word. We have to believe that he's going to follow through. We have to believe that his promises aren't like man's promises, and he's going to find something else that takes priority over us, because that won't happen. We're priority number one, and we always will be. We always have been. But God tells us we can't and shouldn't lust after anything that this world has to offer. Anything that this world promises to us, we have to take it for what it is. A promise with nothing. That means nothing. Because it can all be taken away. We can have the biggest winning lotto ticket in history promised to us. Make us a billionaire. What does that mean? What does that mean to us? It means nothing. Because we know, first of all, the government's going to come in and take most of it. And then people are going to come out of the woodwork to take the rest of it. And then getting that much money, we'll probably start thinking we are somebody and we'll waste the rest of it. Means nothing. It's all gone. But God's promise for us to be in his kingdom for eternity will never go away. It will always be there. It will be delivered. It's something we can stand on. We can stand on that promise. Lusting or coveting is breaking the 10th commandment. Something we shouldn't do. As a Christian, we keep God's commandments. We keep God's laws. And it's a warning to us to look to God and look to his promises rather than looking at what the world has to offer. Because what the world has to offer is temporary, is really meaningless in the scheme of things. God operates on a different level than man does. God does not operate like we do. Totally above us. Isaiah 55, a scripture very familiar to all of us. Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. Isaiah 55 and verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. God does not operate like we do. This world continually wants to bring God down, wants to bring Jesus Christ down to our level. It's not going to happen. God is far above us and always will be. No matter what mankind thinks, no matter what laws they pass, no matter what conclusions they come to, they're never going to bring God down. Standing on God's promises, living by every word of God, will bring us a reward that we can only imagine today. We can only think about today. We read about it in the pages of the Bible. We pray about it. We ask God, thy kingdom come. We want God's kingdom. That's our reward. That's the promise. We're waiting for it. Because we know absolutely without a doubt God's going to deliver. Let's turn to James chapter 1. James chapter 1. James chapter 1 and in verse 12. James chapter 1 and verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Endure. Endure. And we all have to endure every day. We endure this physical life. But there's a promise to receive the crown of life, receiving that promise from God. A promise that will not fail. Great and precious are the promises that God makes to all of mankind. If we obey Him. If we're obedient. If we honor Him. If we glorify Him. If we don't turn our back on Him. The second verse of that song, standing on the promises that cannot fail, when the howling storms of doubt and fear, by the living word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. Again, no matter what we come up against, standing on those promises. God will get us through troubled times in our life. He will help us. James 2 and in verse 5. Listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which He promised to those who love Him? That promise again for the kingdom of God. There's reasons God's promises are so wonderful and they're precious as we strive to overcome each day of our lives. God's promises are the hope that keeps us going. God promises us grace. That's a promise. Grace. Forgiving us. Sharing with us who He is, who Jesus Christ is. One day sharing His family with us. God gave the life of His only Son so you and I could have the opportunity to enter His kingdom and live with our Creator for eternity. That's the opportunity you and I have. That grace, that forgiveness, that love that God has for us. We can't earn it. We can't do anything for it. But because of God's love, He has promised us that. The world we live in has turned its back on the one who is true to His word and the one who keeps His promises. The world has gone another direction. God will never forget what He's promised to do for you and me. He'll never get too busy. His love is too great for that to ever happen. But on the other hand, we as human beings can and do forget the promises that we've made to God. We turn our back on those promises. Think for a minute what would happen if God forgot what He has promised to do for us. He promised to send His Son to die in our place. He promised to give us a land flowing with milk and honey. He promised to give us eternal life in His kingdom. What if He forgot just one of those promises because something else took priority? Where would that put us? Where would that put us? We certainly couldn't be standing on the promises of God any longer because He had forgotten one of His promises. That foundation crumbled. But God isn't going to do that. If God forgot any one of those promises, all of mankind would be doomed to a lasting physical death. We would live this physical life, we would die, and that would be the end of that. No future, no nothing. If God forgot one of His promises to mankind. Deuteronomy 4, if you turn back there with me. Deuteronomy 4. Deuteronomy 4 and in verse 31. Deuteronomy 4 and in verse 31. For the Lord your God is a merciful God. He will not forsake you, nor destroy you, nor forget the covenant of your fathers which He swore to them, which He promised to them. He won't forget. He will remember that. He will remember every promise He's made. God's promise of grace goes way back in time. Way back in time. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all received that promise. And we benefit from that promise today. God does not allow himself to forget or to let something else take priority over those promises that he's made to us. God promises us truth. John 17, if you turn there with me, John 17. John 17. Again, a very familiar verse. John 17, verse 17. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Your promise is truth. That's what we're told. That's who God is. God sets the standard of what is right or wrong. No other spirit or human being has the power to do that. God is the only one that can do that. God lives by truth and expects his human creation to do the same, to live by that truth. Satan, the devil, made the choice to live his life contrary to God's truth. His life is based on lies. I'm sure Satan doesn't keep a promise. He'll probably make them, and I'm sure he does. But he doesn't keep them because he's a liar. That's what Scripture tells us. In John 8:44, Jesus Christ said, Satan is a liar and the father of it. That's where lies began. They began with Satan, and they continue still today. Untruths. God is the only one we can depend on, and he's promised to be truthful to us. Hebrews 13, if you turn there with me, Hebrews 13. Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He told us yesterday he won't lie. Today he won't lie. And he won't lie forever. We will always have the truth. Never doubting that. If we receive a promise, you can stand on that promise. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter 1. Titus 1 and in verse 1. Titus chapter 1 and in verse 1 says, Paul, a servant of God and apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledgement of truth, which is according to godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised before time began. That promise goes back a long, long way. God, who cannot lie, made those promises. We can stand on those promises. Or as they say, we can take it to the bank. Because God's going to follow through. God cannot lie to us. God promises justice. This world has no justice today. The justice system in this world, all around the world, has gone by the wayside. Money is important in our justice system today. Status is important in our justice system today. Not guilt or innocence. It's who you are, what you have that's important. That isn't God. Let's turn to Job chapter 8. Job chapter 8. Job knew God's justice. Job trusted God. Job chapter 8 and in verse 3. Does God subvert judgment or does the Almighty pervert justice? And we all know what Job went through. And yet this is still how he looked at God, knowing God can be counted on. God's justice is righteous justice. God doesn't pervert justice. He doesn't make decisions based on who you are or what your status is. His justice is based on His love and His law. But that's not the world today. And we go down to verse 20. Verse 20. Behold, God will not cast away the blameless, nor will He uphold the evildoers. God will judge us in a righteous way. Always. We can count on that. That's a promise we can count on. God keeps His word. Psalms 89 verse 34, God says, "My covenant I will not break, nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips." Won't change. Remember the same yesterday, today, and forever? Doesn't change. Doesn't change. God is a fair God. A God we can depend on. A God we can look to. And a God who makes promises we can stand on. God has the power to make His promises a reality. When Abraham and Sarah were told Sarah would give birth to the child, she laughed. "I'm too old. That's ridiculous. How in the world can a person my age give birth to a child?" But that was a promise that God made to Abraham, that he would have a child. Let's go back to Genesis 18. Genesis 18. Genesis 18 and verse 13. Genesis 18 and verse 13. It said, "And the Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child since I am old?" Why did she laugh? She's aware of that promise I made. And in verse 14, "Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." God's saying, "Is anything too hard for me to do? I promised you that. I'll keep my promise. Nothing else will become something that will take priority to that promise." All through the Bible, all through man's history, God has kept His promises. Jeremiah 32:27, God said, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me to do?" Do we ever question that? Do we ever question God and His ability to keep His promises? Is there anything too hard for me to do? That's the question he asked. Can we think of something that's too hard for God to do? God has provided for His people just as He promised. What He asks is you obey His laws, that you show Him the same love and respect and obedience that He shows us. With Passover coming up, remember the promise we made it? Baptism? The promise to change? To turn our lives over to Jesus Christ because we accepted His sacrifice for us? We made that promise. Are we sticking to our promise? Or has anything taken priority? Hopefully not. And hopefully never will. That we will follow that example. Exodus 19, if you turn there with me. Exodus 19. Exodus 19. Moses was being given instruction. And God was sharing with him His promises. Exodus 19 and verse 3. "And Moses went up to God, and the Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob and tell the children of Israel, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians and how I bore you on eagles' wings and brought you to myself. Now therefore, if you will indeed obey my voice and keep my covenant, then you shall be a special treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be to me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. God's promise. If we obey Him, if we're obedient to Him, if we stand on His promises, if we believe His promises, if we believe that nothing else will take priority over that relationship that we each have with our Creator God. That personal relationship that only I have, only you have with God as an individual. But this promise that God made back then when He was talking to Moses, that promise God is still keeping today. Still keeping that promise today. Nothing is taking priority. Nothing will take priority. God's people are blessed with that knowledge of His soon coming kingdom and our future as children of God. That's what God promised in these scriptures. That's what He'll deliver to each one of us. We can build our lives on God's promises without any fear, without any question, without any doubt. And we just touched the surface of this topic because God continues to promise us so many wonderful things based on that relationship that we have with Him. The ladies' weekend will provide more opportunities for the ladies to discuss this, to talk about those promises, to talk about how it's affected them personally and share those stories. But how great it is that our God, our Creator, continues to follow through with those promises that He's made us. We need to follow that example. Whatever we promise someone, and we certainly have made promises to God that we need to fulfill and we need to stand by, we should feel that God can stand on our promises just as well as we can stand on His. So as we think about the spring holy days, the Passover, let's think about the promises God has made to us. And never once has He not followed through, has He not delivered. And think about the promises that we made to God. Have we done likewise? Have we followed through with those promises? So we can do the same that we want. You know, we stand on God's promises. We stand there. We show Him we have that confidence. We show Him we have that belief. And we trust Him. And likewise, if we keep our promises, God will feel the same toward us.